Gamertag Radio presents E3 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
What's up, everybody? Apologies for the dead sound of my voice.
Yeah. I just want to, very quick. I know we're going to have a Nintendo roundtable with Wayne and Pete. I just want to say, very quick. All I want to say is thanks for like all the listeners that have been listening to the show. Everybody that have been retweeting our tweets, sharing our content. We've been doing really good with the download numbers. So thank you so much. Thank you to Pete. Thank you to Paris. Especially thank you to Wayne. That have been his first time at E3. But yo, you did pretty good job, man. Pretty good job. And yeah, I think this was a very successful E3. Especially that, you know, it's kind of sucked, but we made it happen anyways. You know, Paris couldn't join us. But we made it happen. So thank you, everybody. And I'm going to go and edit a bunch of audio there for you guys. So let's go back to Pete and Wayne. It's all about the Nintendo booth.
All right.
Well, there you have it.
And we're back.
All right. So again, shout out to the good folks at Nintendo for allowing us to be a part of their event, their party, their booth. Their booth is something special, right?
Very special. Like,
and I really dig the way they do it. They keep it split. Said, you people over there, yeah, you have your fun. There's a big wall. And then here's all the rest of the press and the media and industry folks going upstairs. You and I had an opportunity to play some stuff. Danny and I had a chance to play some stuff. I want to focus on you, though, A, because it was your first time.
Yep.
You've had, like, we've been laughing about the fact that you've had this perpetual grin. It's almost like you're the Joker this whole week at E3. And on top of the thing, I mean, hell, I didn't even get to the Nintendo until like my third year. So, you know, you Dang. Getting it on your first year is like a rite
Dream
of passage.
Come true.
It's like an honorific that you get, right? So you got a chance to play. Danny and I did not. You got a chance to play Pokemon.
Yes.
So,
which I am so grateful for.
So for those that have not had a chance to see the treehouse or what have you, what is different now in the new Pokemon title as opposed to whether it be Pokemon Go or one of the Pokemon
titles? Well, honestly, I was pretty surprised because there's a lot of new things in this game. The catching Pokemon style, they made it a little different than the regular Pokemon games. It's more like Pokemon Go now, where it has the circle that shrinks, and you can throw raspberries to make it easier. So that's nice, because it makes it pretty accessible to all the Pokemon Go fans. Another thing that they changed is you don't run into Pokemon randomly in the grass. You can actually see them moving around, which is really cool, because now when you go into a forest, it's not just grass and trees and trainers. You see the Pokemon moving in the grass. And they have these new lines that float around the Pokemon. If there are red lines around the Pokemon, it means it's a really big version of it. And if there are blue lines, it means it's a small version, which I guess will affect their stats somehow. And also, I asked what else could change, because those lines threw me off. And she said shiny Pokemon are now visibly shiny as well. Because usually when
So what's the difference between a regular Pokemon and a shiny Pokemon?
So a shiny Pokemon has a different set of colors. So, for example, Gyarados is blue, but a shiny Gyarados is red.
Oh.
Yeah, it's badass looking too. So it's really cool, because I started moving through the forest and I started ignoring all the regular Pokemon trying to look for a shiny Pokemon, like a different colored Bulbasaur or something like that. And it was really cool. Another thing that they changed is Pikachu rides on your shoulder the whole time, and another Pokemon follows you. So it was cool.
I noticed you had Charmander following you and Pikachu on your shoulder.
It was super cool to have just two of my Pokemon out with me walking around this place. I thought that was really, really cool.
Now, I want to comment, because you did have some issues.
Uh-huh.
You had some, you were experiencing difficulties with Caterpie, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, there were.
As well as, was it Weevil?
Metapod.
Metapod, sorry.
Yeah.
So aside from the fact, because you did capture a couple.
Yeah,
you did have a handful in your in your session. You had Bulbasaur as well, but you know, you had some issues.
Yeah.
Was it any different? Did you feel maybe the difficulty level maybe increased because you weren't as accustomed to be to using the Pokeball controller as opposed to using a regular controller, or if you were playing Pokemon Go, like you would have to do the whole swipe thing to with the curve. I did the curve. I know the curve thing.
The curve.
But how was that? Like getting used to it.
It was definitely it did take a little bit of getting used to, because in Pokemon Go, I almost always only curveball. And it's much easier with the finger and swiping it once you get the hang of it. But when she gave me the Pokeball as the controller, first of all, that thing is awesome. It lights up. It vibrates. If you shake it, you can hear the Pokemon inside of it.
Why would you do that? Because
there's this other feature where, let's say I want to level up my Pokemon, but I don't have time to play. I can deposit a Pokemon into that Pokeball. And as I walk through my day, it's like a step counter. And the more you walk with that Pokemon, the more it levels up and the more experience it gains. And so if I tell somebody, oh, I'm with my Pikachu right now, they can be like, oh, for real? And then I just shake it and they'll be like, they'll hear the Pikachu or whatever. So
yeah, he's arguing. Stop shaking my damn house.
Just rattling up the Pokemon in
so,
there.
So, all right. So you get this little Pokeball in your hand, and to me, it seemed maybe smaller than I would expect it, a Pokeball to be, because obviously you know, we know it expands when you press the button, et cetera, before you use it. But like, how was it in your hand? Were you able, like,
you can pretty much hold it with like three fingers almost.
Does it control forward, you know, like your movement as well as anything?
Everything.
Okay. All
right. And I thought that was awesome. So there's the button of the Pokeball is actually like a control stick. You can move it around. It's like an analog stick. You can move your character around and move through the selection process. If you click it, that's A. And on the top of the red part of the Pokeball, there's another little button that's B. So you can back out. And that's also the start menu if you're all the way out and just playing. So I thought that was awesome that you could just do all kinds of controls with just the Pokeball. And when you catch a Pokemon, you know how it goes, like it lights up and it wiggles a little bit?
Right.
The actual Pokeball does that in your hand.
Oh, wow.
It lights up and the lights change depending on if you caught it or didn't. And I thought that was really cool. But I did bump into a Butterfree. And that thing was moving around side to side. And that was a little difficult because with Pokemon Go, I'm kind of used to it. I can curve them into their movements. But with this Pokeball, now I'm actually having to throw a curveball. And I tried it and I missed like two or three times. And I was like, okay, I'm not ready for this. I want this Butterfree. I'm just going to stick to a regular throw, which is really cool. You could pretty much just flick the ball and it throws it. It was a lot of fun.
Do you have multiple Pokeballs? Because I know that you've got the standards, and then you've got, you know, the whole assortment. Were you able to see how many did you find or use?
Another thing that they changed is usually when you beat a trainer, they give you some money and that's pretty much it. But in this game, they give you money and they give you Pokeballs. So I had a ton of Pokeballs.
Well, you were failing some on some of the captures, needed them.
Yeah, it was a good thing too. That was why I was really happy, because I was missing a ton at first. But after beating a trainer, they'd give me three or five Pokeballs. And so I was like, oh, well, this is awesome. It's okay for me to miss now. And they give you... In the demo, they gave us Ultra Balls. They gave us all kinds of berries and stuff. So I was able to use some of those Ultra Balls, but I was still missing with them. But the lady that was showing us the demo, she told me that there were people, you can throw underhand, overhand, behind the back. Someone was throwing it under their leg. They totally missed, but they still could.
Right.
And I think that's really awesome. But yeah, and graphics-wise, this is the best Pokemon game, visually speaking, ever made. I mean, when I sent out Pikachu, which, by the way, in the game, as soon as the battle starts, Pikachu runs off and down your arm and then runs into the battle, and I thought that was super cool. But while you're there at the selection screen for the moves, if you look closely, you can see the hairs on Pikachu's back, and Pikachu's never had hair before. You can never see the strands.
Come on, he's a cat and mouse.
Yeah, it's super cute, but now you can actually see like the little hairs on his back, and I couldn't believe it. She pointed that out to me, and I was like, oh my God, you're right.
Cool. All right. So prior to that, Danny and I had a good chance to play Super Smash Brothers Brawl on the Switch.
Yep.
We finally got a chance, and we had our first match, Ridley versus Mewtwo. I chose
Mewtwo. You started with the biggest ones.
I had to. I had to go with Mewtwo because that's always been my favorite and preferred Pokemon since day one when, you know, me and my son used to go off and watch, you know, I had the whole first season on VHS. I know you're young and you may not understand VHS is in a pre-digital age. But yeah, like it was cool to actually play with Mewtwo. He played with Ridley. I mean, it happens. Danny lost. I mean, it's normal. It happens when he and I play fighting games. He did come back on the second one.
Nice.
He did come back on the second match. We did swap up characters. I was Mega Man and he played
Samus.
That's right, Samus. That's right.
You guys both had the blasters. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. He wrecked me. He destroyed me. So shout out to him. And then you and Danny played.
Yes, which he was warmed up. I didn't get to warm up. So that's yeah, my
he
already excuse.
had two matches under his belt. So he was like, yeah, okay, I almost came back.
I got you, boy.
Yeah.
He did win this time, but when the game comes out, I'm going to whoop him.
Okay. Oh.
That's a challenge.
We might have to put that on the stream. We might have to do a let's play and just have Danny versus Wayne match. So, and then on top of that, we left to go play Pokemon. And then we came back and we played a game that I honestly had looked at. I had honestly overlooked it. I saw it. I was like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it was like, is there anything else we can see?
Yeah.
And, you know, the PR person that was with us, shout out to him. Him and as well as the person working the kiosk was like, no. You guys, I think you guys will enjoy this. It's a 4-person co-op game called Overcooked 2. And at first glance, it's one of those titles that really warrants the you look and then you keep scrolling when you're looking for games to play. And it caught me off guard.
Yeah.
We had a blast. You know, you're basically, you know, playing four chefs, but you're in a kitchen and there's constantly things changing. Either you're burning stuff or, you know, you got to like make sure you get plates. And as cheeky and as kiddy as it sounds, it's fun because the four of us were yelling and screaming, hey, I need rice. I need nori. I need fish. I need cucumbers. Yeah. I need lettuce. It was hilarious. And then obviously as we progressed, you know, the levels got, you know, significantly difficult because at one point we were in a balloon, in a hot air balloon in the sky. Things were catching on fire. We fell. Onto the ground, and it was just mayhem. It was hilarious. It was fun. And at the end of the day, it's all you really want in a co-op environment when you're playing with friends. So, I mean, I was
pretty surprised. I mean, I've seen Overcooked on the Switch store, and I have not bought it, but I have heard some friends saying that it was good. But Overcooked 2, I was like, okay, so if there's a sequel, it's got to be good. And watching you guys play, I was filming over your shoulders at first, but then after a bit, I was laughing and enjoying it. So I turned around and I was filming your faces and you guys were getting intense, pointing at the screen like, who's got the plates? Wait, there's already onions here. Like, chop the lettuce. You didn't chop it. It was so funny to me.
Yeah, that's what you want in a co-op experience. When everybody is in there, they've got their full attention to it and they're just having fun. And at the end of the day, Nintendo is synonymous with having fun on a couch co-op game.
Not to mention, during Overcooked, a special guest walked by behind you guys.
Yeah, you might have seen him on a treehouse or three or five. Mr. Reggie Phillips was there. You know, shout out to him for always supporting the Nintendo and push and flying them in the Nintendo banner. I'll have to admit, I've probably used my Switch or played on a Switch more this week at E3 than I have in the last probably 4 or 5 months. Wow. You know, there's been sporadic times where like I've played, you know, like Uno with Danny or, you know, I was bored one day cause I had to take my dad to the hospital and I pulled it out, but that's the beauty of the Switch. You know, you can use it any given time. Probably surprised you know, the three of us haven't tried to do a Fortnite match. We tried it this morning.
It didn't work.
And it didn't work, but then we were all able to individually go into a match. We weren't able to go in as a group. And hey, was it sixth place I got today on my first ever Fortnite match on Switch. So, you know, hey, shout out to Nintendo. I had a really good time. Did anything else stand out to you at the Nintendo booth today?
I did I did really like the environment. I mean, they were very nice and very courteous. They took us upstairs. There was this whole other secluded section away from all the crowds. We had a lot of room to walk around. And then they were like, do you guys need water? You want water? And they went and they got us water while we played. It was so courteous and just so comfy. It was awesome. And the games are obviously going to be amazing. So, yeah, I mean, I was just blown away by it. And then at the end, they brought us, they surprised us while we were playing. He just gave us all Pokeballs, stress balls.
Pokeball stress balls. I might have to pull mine out and use those on the plane in case you get some turbulence, you know.
I love that.
I had a good time. Thank you once again. Obviously, shout out to Danny, who's over in the other side of the hotel room, hard at work with his headphones on, patiently waiting for the Nas album. But at the same time, he's editing the next batch of episodes for our E3 coverage. So shout out to him.
Shout out to Nintendo.
Shout out to Nintendo.
And Eddie.
Just shout out to the ESA. Shout out to Reed and everybody for the hospitality and everything. Shout out to Yami and the rest of the crew over at Twinfinite, as well as Esme. Over at Eisenberg, we all hung out tonight. We had a great dinner. Fantastic. It's one of the highlights of every E3 is getting to hang out with our industry family and brethren and sisters. So shout out to them. Honestly, I'm done. I'm spent. I'm broken. Danny says we've done something like 50 plus episodes. I don't know the number right now. I can't even count that high. But again, like he said earlier, shout out to Paris, obviously, who cannot be here today. You know, he did have prior engagements with work, but you know, Danny and I did bust our ass. Wayne, I'm so thankful you're young and you could keep up and you can give us the energy we need to do this. But the most importantly, aside from all the guests that we've had on our show over the past week, shout out to the fans. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the community, the Discord family over there. Thank you so much. You guys are the reason why we do this, you know, day in, day out, week in and week out. Thank you to the mods. Thank you to everybody else. And I don't know if I can remember anybody else to thank because I'm so tired.
I'm just overall.
My eyes are drooping. I'm dead.
Genuinely appreciative and so grateful. I mean, I came to E3, which, I mean, if you had told me that, like, 6 months ago, I would have been like, that's not possible. That's not going to happen. And then I got to play Pokemon, and it was just a dream
ahead of time.
True.
So now you've had a chance to play some of the most anticipated titles of this year.
The most anticipated.
And there's some that you won't be able to play for another 6 to 8 months. There's some you're not going to be able to play for another 2-3 years.
Yeah, I know.
So
it was an amazing experience. I'm just so appreciative and grateful for the opportunity. And thank you for everyone that made all of this happen. It's just such a... It was such a beautiful experience, honestly.
Cool. Hopefully we can have you next year. Hopefully we can get a GoFundMe page for you and your luggage.
I didn't break my luggage. They gave us so much stuff. Like, I had to throw out some socks and things. Oh, man.
Yeah. So, again, thank you, everyone. Thank you to the Discord community. Thank you to our Twitch family. Sorry we were not able to do a live show for you guys this week. Obviously, we're here on location. Who knows? Maybe next year we'll do a live Twitch show.
Ooh.
At the Airbnb.
Ooh. Get your PC.
We could do it. We could probably make it work. We'll figure it out. Yeah. We will figure it out. We just need to get an Airbnb or something with bigger, better internet. Because if I had a knock on our Airbnb situation this year, it'd probably be the internet.
Yeah, just the Wi-Fi.
But again, that's something that can be fixed or improved upon. So I think I'm going to sign off. I think I'm going to call it for Danny. For Wayne, for the folks over at Audio Boom, shout out to them for homing Gamertag Radio. Shout out to the Discord family. This is Pete signing off. Good night.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.